So I was enjoying my 40th birthday, and then I heard sirens. And that was because it was me being rushed to the hospital in the back of an ambulance. And at that point, I was scared and afraid that I would not be around for my children, because my mom had a debilitating stroke at the age of 52, and my sister passed at 45 from diabetes complications. And my dad had also had a pacemaker defibrillator implanted at the age of 50. So all lifestyle preventable illnesses, and I was on the exact same path that they were. And I just made that decision that I had mentioned I'd been on all those diets, and I said, that's it. That's when I decided, whatever happens, health is number one. And always being around for my children was the impetus in the back of my mind for doing what I did and changing my lifestyle.
That's wellness consultant Tammy Racanello. And this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacobellis, talking with innovators and experts about healthcare in America. It's summertime, and many of our thoughts are turning to the dreaded bathing suit. Some of us, and here I'm speaking for myself, may seriously be regretting the pounds we packed on over the winter. And again, speaking for myself, my normal winter weight gain this year was exacerbated by what I'm calling the COVID-19, those additional pounds that I attribute to my husband's pandemic hobby of baking delicious loaves of hot, fresh bread. So that's just one of the reasons why I'm thrilled to welcome today's guest, Tammy Racanello. Tammy is a speaker and corporate wellness consultant who works with businesses on increasing profitability and productivity by helping their employees to be more active, make better food choices, and achieve a healthy work-life balance. Tammy also develops customized wellness programs for weight loss and lifestyle disease prevention, and she's a food industry consultant and culinary nutritionist, working with plant-based food companies to make sure their ingredient labels meet FDA standards. So Tammy Racanello, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for having me on.
Tell us what the link is between employee wellness and productivity.
Well, if you're not feeling at the top of your game, if even you're just feeling a little off that day, you don't have to be full out, you know, sick. Your productivity is going to suffer because something else is taking your attention. You're being distracted away from where you need to be. So we want to avoid that.
And do you find that employers are becoming more concerned about that and really becoming willing to invest in their employees' wellness?
I would hope so. I find that some companies like the appearance of wellness over actual wellness, because there are so many moving parts and components when it comes to, it's not just nutrition. There's, you know, I have a 5-point system that I work with, my STAR system. And it focuses on, yes, nutrition, but also mindset, mindfulness, your sleep quality, your stress levels, and also your movement. If you're getting movement into your day, not just going to the gym, it's, you know, just getting out of your chair on a regular basis to make sure you're stretching and getting that blood flowing.
It's interesting when you talk about the appearance for some being more of an emphasis rather than the substance. And I feel like for individuals as well, we tend to be more focused on appearance than health, right? We all want to be skinny more than healthy. What's that dichotomy for you? How do you address that?
It's very frustrating for me. As somebody who has lost 140 pounds, it wasn't just about the weight for me. I had been on many, many, many diets, and I would not feel better than I was. You know, I would lose a little weight, the weight would come back, but I never really felt better. When I started focusing on, you know, making the health primary, that's when, you know, when you look at all those other factors that I was mentioning, when you start taking that into account, all those other things, once you start getting those online, then your weight will fall into place. If you have too many distractions, too many of those other factors that are, you know, this, you're too stressed out, there's no way. You know, that's our, you know, amygdala, that reptile brain, that's always going to go to our default. So no matter how hard we try to do something, when we get stressed out, we automatically go to that default because we just don't have it within us to change that. So it's really important to get all those other things online first, and then the weight and working on that, well, everything will fall into place.
Yeah. And I love that about your approach too, that it's really, you come at this from a place that's as multifaceted as people are. I mean, we all have so many different factors that affect our well-being, from our mindset to our environment to, and diet, of course, is a big part of that. I wanted to know, talk a little bit about self-care and how that sort of plays into this whole thing. Are people, do you think, more open to that? Is that something that you emphasize with clients?
Absolutely. Self-care, especially self-care in the workplace, dependent on the leeway that the company gives you, things that you can do within the workspace, certainly at your own desk. You know, many of us have worked from home. For some people, it's always been work from home, but they don't know how to, you know, create that balance. And, you know, I've heard from many of my clients are saying that they, even working from home, they're actually working more than they would have had they been in the office working at their desk, because they're working from home and they were able to put in those more hours and they're not setting those boundaries. So it's really important, whether you're working from home or working in the office, that you work on boundaries that are appropriate based on the company that you're in. And it makes sense, because if a company isn't allowing their employees to have that and to allow that self-care, it's really doing a disservice. They're not going to get the best productivity, and they're not going to have happy, healthy employees.
So you mentioned that a lot of people are working at home. The pandemic has obviously affected so many of us in so many different ways. What's been the effect of the pandemic on employee wellness in general?
I know from what my clients have told me, like I said, they're working more from home. They're not getting up out of their chairs. I did a visualization workshop and goal setting with a bunch of women, professional women. And at the end of it, we were talking about our days, you know, what is your ideal day look like, your breakfast, your lunch, and what would you like to see in your life? And how would you be feeling if that happens? And then after we were done, one of the women said, you know, when you said lunch, I realized I haven't had lunch in months. It just wasn't part of the day, because she was so used to working and sitting at her desk. I've also heard of people having eye issues because they're constantly looking at their screen and they're not looking away. They're not taking those breaks. So I'm a big proponent of micro breaks. And the minute, you know, you start feeling stressed out, the minute you start reading, you're rereading the same sentences over and over again. Take up to 10 minutes, no more than that, because you're going to lose productivity. Set a timer, whatever it is, just to make sure you don't go beyond that 10 minutes. Go for a quick walk outside. Make sure you're getting vitamin D. So many people have been inside. They weren't getting out. Get out, get that vitamin D. Make yourself a cup of tea. Listen to music. Meditate. So important to just give yourself that space to just be, and, you know, look within and really check in to see where you are. 10 minutes. And then when you come back, you're focused, you're more productive, you're going to feel better. And it's going to be game changing to be giving yourself that time.
You know, that sounds fantastic. I think, you know, if we can all do that and even continue it after, you know, maybe going back to a more normal work schedule, whether people are returning to the office, that sounds like really important kind of just habits to bake into your day. But I'm wondering, we talk so much about the negative effects of COVID and how it's changed our lives. Have there been any like upsides to more people working at home? Do you feel that, you know, we're spending more time with our pets maybe, or we're doing, you know, maybe having a better work-life balance?
Yeah, I don't know about the work-life balance, but I do know people have been spending more time with their families. They're spending more time with pets. Some people got COVID pets, because they didn't want to be alone in the house, or, you know, so they wanted company and they got themselves a cat or a dog. And yeah, I know what I've found, like for me, is that I've been able to communicate with people all over the country. You know, we sit in our bubble and we're localized to our community where we are with our networking and the people that we meet. But COVID has opened up, you know, the ability to be, when you're on your the virtual networking, to meet people from all over the country and the world and really expand. And it's a shared thing. Everybody went through it. Mm-hmm. So we were able to talk about it and open up and have, you know, people to communicate with. It wasn't in person. And I know physical contact, missing that physical contact was huge, because it's so important to be able to hug someone, even just to, you know, just meeting somebody in person. But being able to communicate with people all over the country and all over the world, that was, I think that was a pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's a shared thing, but it's a shared trauma in a way. Right? Yeah, so it's something that we've all kind of been struggling with.
Yeah. Like, I know I found somebody who was like also in the coaching space and a little bit different from what I did. And we would set up, you know, we scheduled like weekly chats just to check in, see what's going on, you know, any challenges. And it was so great to have that. And she's not local. She wasn't local. So it was so great to be able to have that, you know, with another person just to talk.
Yeah. Who you might not have connected with.
Exactly.
Otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you work with companies and they bring you in to do, like, what does that look like? Is there a typical type of company or size of company that you like to work with? And what does your engagement tend to look like?
It varies. You know, it's usually, I've worked with teams of six, you know, real estate teams, all the way up to like hundreds of people to give presentations, either a one-time presentation or a multiple presentations. Go on site so people can connect with me on site, you know, come speak with me on an individual basis. You know, there's a myriad of ways that I can be working in a company.
And you also work with individuals as well, is that right?
I do work with individuals as well, yes.
So what does that look like? What kinds of engagements do you have with individuals?
It's my individual focus has changed. Because I focus on the 5-point STAR program, you know, somebody might come to me and say, I'd like to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds. That's not my space. It's not my space. My space is somebody who really wants to make overall changes in their lifestyle. They're looking to have a better quality of life, maybe avoid some, life preventable diseases. You know, diabetes, heart disease, strokes, anything that would involve, you know, changing your stress levels, managing all those things I spoke about before. So people like that, that's who I work with.
And you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I want to go there now because you mentioned some of the health issues that people have. Your personal story is very compelling and how you got into this space. Can you share a little bit of your background and what brought you here?
Sure. So I was enjoying my 40th birthday, and then I heard sirens, and that was because it was me being rushed to the hospital in the back of an ambulance. And at that point, I was scared and afraid that I would not be around for my children, because my mom had a debilitating stroke at the age of 52, and my sister passed at 45 from diabetes complications. And my dad had also had a pacemaker defibrillator implanted at the age of 50. So all lifestyle preventable illnesses, and I was on the exact same path that they were. And I just made that decision that I had mentioned I had been on all those diets, and I said, that's it. That's when I decided whatever happens, health is number one, and always being around for my children was the impetus in the back of my mind for doing what I did and changing my lifestyle.
And how'd you do it? Like, did you have help? Did you have a coach, or did you just kind of on your own figure this stuff out?
I figured it out on my own. I was an EMT for 20 years. My background is in science. I actually went to school to be a lab technician. So I wanted to be a forensic scientist. So I have a pretty strong background in science and you know, anatomy and the way the body works. So I kind of knew all that. And when I was looking for answers, it was frustrating for me because, you know, you'd look for one answer for the same question, and then you'd read a book and or look something up, and it would be a different answer for the same. I'm like, how is this possible? My science brain, my geekiness did not deal with this well. So I said, I need to figure this out. So I did. I started to figure things out for myself and did a lot of research, did a lot of reading. And that's how I wound up consulting in the food industry, which is kind of cool because I went looking at bread and I started to read labels very avidly. And people stopped shopping with me because a shopping trip would last me like a couple of hours. I would just read all the labels in the store. So when you pick up bread and it says high fiber or whole grain, you expect it to have actual fiber in there. But when the fiber count was zero, I'm like, how is this possible? This didn't make any sense to me. So I started reading the FDA website, and I learned a lot. It was very eye-opening, and I just found it so fascinating. I just kept reading up on food. And, you know, people caught up on that I started to know a lot of information, and they started asking me to consult with them on their food labels and things like that. So it was very cool. Yeah.
So what are some of those sort of crazy, I'm going to start that question over again. Sorry. What are some of the contradictions that you commonly see on food labels? Like you just mentioned that a high fiber bread might have zero fiber in it. What are some things that people should be aware of and should be looking at when they're reading a food label?
First off, be aware that the FDA allows 20% leeway on all food counts. So whether that's the calories, the fat, the sugars.
That's a lot.
Yes. And you don't know whether it's 20% more or 20% less, but it's just 20% leeway. Yeah. So I always say use the food labels as a guide. They are not law. They are just a very loose guide to what you're taking in. Also, very interesting is yogurt, because the condition of yogurt is that it has to have active cultures, which makes sense. Like yogurt is live active cultures at time of manufacture. But then you go ahead and pasteurize it and kill all the cultures off. So yes, it has all those great cultures when they manufacture it, but then when they pasteurize it, they're all dead. So you want to make sure when you're eating yogurt that the cultures are added after the pasteurization process.
And how do you figure that out?
Hopefully it says it on the label. You will find some yogurt companies that put it on the label. And if you don't see it there, call up the manufacturer of your favorite brand and ask them.
Okay, I've got a couple of yogurt calls to make this afternoon. Yeah. Is there are there better kind of times to shop or places to shop? What do you recommend? What's your strategy for doing your weekly shopping? Do you shop weekly, daily?
I don't shop daily. This is my favorite time of the year though, because all the farmers markets are now open. So I love that. I love going to the farmers markets and just seeing what they have and trying anything new. You know, this is the best time to go out there and just experiment. The produce is there, it's fresh, and you know, you can really go crazy and try some amazing things. And you don't know until you try. You know, some people, you know, like, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, give it a try. You don't know. And if you're not sure about cooking, again, you know, I am a raw food chef and also a plant-based chef, and you experiment in the kitchen. It's just fun. And you don't have to go crazy. Just get a few, you know, a few ingredients and, you know, a little bit of spices. Spices are great too for your health. And just play around and see what you come up with.
Well, we're going to take a brief break, but I'm anxious to come back and talk more about the ways that you can play and experiment with your food. It's okay. So we'll be back in a minute with Tammy Racanello.
Healthcare Confidential is brought to you by Prescriptive Communications, LLC. Analyze, strategize, connect. That's our prescription for healthcare marketing. Prescriptive Communications puts healthcare businesses in front of the audiences they need to reach. If you're ready for a diagnostic on your marketing efforts, get in touch with Prescriptive today. Call us at 631-606-0525 or visit prxcommunications.com. That's 631-606-0525 or prxcommunications.com.
Welcome back to Healthcare Confidential. We're here with wellness consultant Tammy Racanello, and we're talking about the joys of the farmer's market this time of year and how you can really experiment and play with different foods, try new things. And one of the things that I loved that you did last year was you showed people, I think on a Facebook video, how to kind of prep. I mean, people are busy, right? Whether we're working at home or we're in the office, hard to come home and just start making a meal or you know, shut down the computer at 6 o'clock and start thinking about dinner. But there are ways that you can kind of prep stuff that you pick up at the market, so it's easier, faster. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, especially because Often people buy things, especially if they're on sale or whatever, and they put them in the refrigerator, they forget about them and they wind up going bad and they get thrown away. So whether you're going to a farmer's market or getting food from a store, bring it home. You know, if you're not sure when you're going to eat it, bring it home, wash it well. With greens, by the way, greens, you want to give them a bath. So you're going to immerse them in water and just swish them around a little bit in the water and then drain them well. And you could even do it again. If you're buying a bag and it says, oh yeah, it's triple washed, wash it anyway. wash everything. So just put the greens in there and swish them around. Yeah. So and then you dry them well and you put them in the freezer. And then you melt them. Yeah. So your spinach, whatever your whatever you get. I wouldn't recommend that so much for lettuce, but you know, any type of greens that you're gonna saute, or you can even spinach you could throw in a smoothie, whatever. You want to put that in the freezer, and this way you know it's there. You don't have to worry. It's already prepped. Boom, and you're done. And by the way, there's no shame in frozen food. A lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have time to prep it, and I have to buy frozen. Look for frozen organic. If you want to stock up, get it on sale. I don't have a lot of food rules, but I do have one when I work with clients. It's called Strive for Five, and that's five vegetables at each meal. So no matter what you're doing, it's so easy to incorporate that. Even if you want eggs in the morning, making an omelet, go in like spinach, onion, broccoli, zucchini, peppers. That's five right there. The same thing with lunch. You know, people who say, you know, I don't want to give up my pizza. Great. You have a veggie pizza, get a salad on the side, do stir fries, bowls for dinner, things like that, where you're always incorporating a lot of vegetables. So easy to get five vegetables in at each meal. And once you do that, you're going to feel so amazing and you're not going to have cravings. You're going to just feel awesome because you're giving your body the nutrients that it needs.
Okay. Five vegetables. Yeah. Even like fruit doesn't, obviously it's not a vegetable. So that's not.
Although some fruits, some vegetables are actually fruits like tomatoes and things like that, but that's like confusing. Like I tell people don't, it doesn't matter. Don't focus too much on what's a fruit, what's a vegetable. But yeah, so vegetables, try five at each meal and then, you know, a couple of fruits a day and you've got everything, especially if you're getting like all these different colors in. Yeah, it's great.
So you mentioned organic, important to buy organic produce or does it matter? I know there's the Dirty Dozen that people talk about.
Yeah. I buy organic whenever possible. If you're not getting organic, that's okay. You know, if there's no option for organic, I'd rather you eat the vegetable than not eat the vegetable because it's not organic. You know, I don't want people to get focused on that.
So. And I know you personally adhere to a plant-based diet. What are the health benefits of that? And is that right for everyone?
You know, even the American Medical Association now says that eating more plants and less meat is good for you. So everybody is on board with this now. So whether you don't have to go 100%, not all my clients want to be plant-based. They don't want to be all plant-based, but they are willing to drop their red meat intake or even a little or entirely and focus on fish and chicken and that's it. So it's much better. Yeah, it is much better for the body. There's no disagreements with any of the people now. It used to be just the holistic community. Now the medical community is agreeing that everybody should be eating more vegetables, less red meat.
I know some people talk about like food as medicine, but there's definitely a link between nutrition and performance, right? How does that work? And are there certain foods that are good for certain health issues, for example?
Absolutely. You want to look at the fat intake. You know, if you're eating having a lot of vegetable oils, those aren't so good for you. You don't want to have anything that's too high. You have the omega-3, 6s, and there are a lot of omegas, but if you have too many 6s in your diet, it's inflammatory for you. So you want to avoid the canolas and the mixed vegetable oils, the corn oils, and move towards olive oil, coconut oil, grapeseed, avocado. Avocados are great. And then nuts, regular nuts, seeds, and always, nuts and seeds in their whole form are going to be better than the oils.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like every other person that I meet these days is on some kind of diet and there's so many of them out there and there's a lot that are flashes in the pan that come and go. But I wondered if you could maybe dish on a couple of the ones that are popular now. Intermittent fasting, I hear about all the time. What do you think about that?
Intermittent fasting is kind of interesting because there are so many ways of doing intermittent fasting. There are people who eat like 5 days a week and then don't eat for 2 days. There are people that, you know, eat for, you know, eat 6 hours a day and then that's it. Yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to go maybe 12 hours without eating, you know, that's like an overnight pretty much. You give your body a break. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not in favor of, you know, going days without eating food.
Yeah, gives me a headache personally. The very few times that I've had to do it.
Also, you don't know how you're doing it correctly. You don't want to throw off your metabolism. And, you know, so, yeah, there's a lot of blood damage you could be doing if you're doing it incorrectly.
What about things like keto and paleo?
Again, it's, you know, high fat, and they're getting rid of food groups entirely that they don't believe in eating. And I was it's funny, I was away once, and there was somebody walking around with a plate of bacon and sausage, and she asked if there were eggs or something, and they said no, and they said, oh, well, I guess I'll eat this. She said, I'm on keto. I'm like, really? As I'm like, you're eating sausage and bacon. This is the thing. Like a lot of these diets, like what was it? The Atkins, that was like people eating pork rinds. They wouldn't eat carbs, but they would eat, you know, pork rinds and things like that. So you got to look at where you're getting your food from and what kind of nutrition are you getting? And, you know, people might go on these things short term, but long term, you know, you can wind up, you know, having, again, electrolyte imbalances, health issues, wind up, you know, so it's not something that I would go on for the long term or recommend it. I don't really recommend it at all, personally. Mm-hmm. Whole foods, eating, you know, natural as best as you can, and getting a wide variety of vegetables in your diet. That's, you know, that's the way to go.
Yeah, staying away from processed.
Staying away from processed. Yes, don't eat processed meats. I mean, there's no way that's awesome. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like on some level, we all know this stuff, right? But we've just sort of lost our way sometimes. And it's,
well, you know what? It's not even that. It's not the lost the way. It's the people want a quick, people just want to lose weight. And they're looking for a quick way to do it. And somebody says, hey, I lost, you know, like 30 pounds in, you know, 10 days or whatever. Like, oh, what did you do? I'm going to do that too. So it's not even, they're not even thinking about health. They're just thinking about the weight loss. Mm-hmm. And weight is not a measure of health, whatever your weight is for your size, if it's perfect on the scale, BMI, or, you know, whatever it is, and you fall into that range of what they call that normal, that doesn't mean you're healthy. There's no bearing on your health whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it's really a disservice for people to do that, and for the medical community to push that. You know, it's looking at the person as a whole, especially with women. We are so susceptible to the media and the marketing and all those things, and looking at being a certain size and fitting into that bathing suit. Yes, you can do that, but let's do it in a safe way. Let's do it in a way that makes sense, where you're going to get the nutrition that you need, have all the energy that you need, and feel great. And yes, you can lose the weight too. You can have it all.
And it's got to be sustainable too, right? A lot of these quick fixes, you can't. You're going to bounce right back when you find that you can't keep it up.
Exactly. Like, I, you know, I'm a big proponent. Listen, if you want chocolate, eat chocolate. There's great, good quality dark chocolate that you can have. It's got fiber in it. It's got some protein in it. And it doesn't have a lot of added sugar. That's what you need. Or, you know, if you want a piece of cake or a cookie, you know, have it, enjoy it, and move on. You know, we're so stuck on like, oh my gosh, we had the cake, so now, you know, might as well eat the French fries. And, you know, I blew my diet for today, so I'm going to run 10 miles tomorrow. We're not a reward punishment thing. It's just like, just take a breath, enjoy what you're eating, and that's it. You know, mm-hmm. And just eat as best as possible. You know, 80-20 kind of, you know, 80% really great. And then, you know, 20% if you want to, I don't measure it, but, you know, if you really want the piece of cake or just want a piece of cookie, just have it, really enjoy it, eat it mindfully, and just move on.
There you go. That's part of the whole self-care mindset too.
Being healthy. Yeah. If you start depriving yourself, if you start thinking in the reward punishment thing, or, you know, that's never going to work.
Great, great advice. Last question. What is one piece of advice that you would give to anyone, a listener, anyone who's trying to make some positive lifestyle changes and maybe having trouble getting started or sticking with it?
definitely the strive for five. You know, so you're not really making any changes. You're still having your omelets, still having your pizzas. You can have your burritos or whatever. Just make it into a bowl. So there's just, you can just make small changes and get those results. And also making sure you're drinking enough water. Water is super important. Not, you know, stuff with artificial sweeteners in it, just the actual water. If you need something, you could add a little lemon, or, you know, if you put in some mint, it can make it fun. But make sure you're drinking water. And that, I encourage people to do that with setting habits. So habits are not, you know, made in like 28 days or 30 days, like they say. Habits happen because you're associating with something else. So if you're making coffee in the morning or tea in the morning, and you take some water and you fill up a glass, because you already have the water you're making for the tea or the coffee, you're going to have your water with you, and then you're going to refill it during the day. So you always want to set something, a habit, with something that you're already doing, and that'll make it sustainable and easy to remember.
Excellent. All right. Great advice. Thank you. So, Tammy Racanello, where can our listeners learn more about you?
My website is Wellness Unicorn, WellnessUnicorn, wellnessunicorn.com. And I have that. In addition, you could find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. And I post on Instagram. So sometimes some good recipes, always good inspiration and motivation.
And that's just as, is that Wellness Unicorn as well, or is that your name?
Wellness, no, my name, LinkedIn is LinkedIn, and Instagram is my name, Tammy Racanello.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And I want to remind our listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available every Monday morning, wherever you access podcasts. The show is brought to you by Prescriptive Studios, and it's hosted on Omni Studio. Our theme song is an original composition written and performed by the amazing Patrick Bukarsik. Our production assistant is John Roy. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation by dropping a note on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Be well, everyone.